first speaker is Tadashi Takayanagi, who will tell us about the gravity dual of the quantum information metric. So, Tadashi.
Okay, first, I'd like to thank organizers, Rob and Mark and Jeffrey for inviting me to this very exciting workshop. And today, I'd like to talk about some holographic dual or gravity dual of quantity, which is called quantum information metric. As I mentioned, there are several versions of information metric, but I'm particularly looking at a particular one called breath distance. And this work is mainly based on this recent preprint, and which I wrote with the Masamichi Miyaji and Tokiro Numasawa, who is also coming to this workshop and give poster presentations, and Kent Watanabe, and they are a graduate student in Yukawa Institute in Kyoto University, and also our postdoc Noburo Shiba. And I finally mentioned some also cross-related but slightly independent approach to the quantum information metric and based on the another preprint. So the contents of my talk is like this. So we give some introduction, and then we introduce the idea of information metric, in especially in the context of quantum field theory, or more specifically CFT, which have some ADS-CFT duals. And then we go to the gravity dual version, and we propose some gravity dual of this information metric. And then we go to the more detailed check of our proposal by looking at dynamical process, especially looking at the sum field double state in an eternal ADS black holes, and give some conclusions. And finally, also, in addition, we'd like to mention some different approach to quantum information metric, which somehow, in the end, we want to relate say, this information metric to space-time metric, and I give some a bit vague, but some idea in the end, and finish my talk. So let me begin with introduction. And so this holographic principle and ADS-CFT correspondence, as many people discuss, is give some geometrization of quantum state of quantum field theories, conformal field theory. And originally, it is quite complicated in an algebraic sense. It's a wave function of very complicated state, but we can, once we apply ADS-CFT or holography, we can make it in some geometry, which is much easier to understand, especially for strongly coupled theory. And in other words, this holography provides us some geometry of quantum information. So this quantum state is characterized by some quantum information theoretical quantity, but the holography gives its geometry. And the one manifestation of this idea is a connection between this wave function of quantum measurable systems, and it's so we have some complicated wave function in a quantum measurable system, but we can visualize it in terms of tensor networks, and as in a very famous idea of this Mera and Jeffrey's idea, and its connection to holography, and first pointed by Brian Swinger, and also very interesting idea of this emergent geometry from holography, and as Mark pointed out a few years ago. And so this is quite a fascinating connection between this geometry of quantum systems. One most well-studied quantity for this purpose, for this connection between this wave function, complicated wave function, and its geometry, is the looking at the quantity called so-called entanglement entropy. And this quantity is characterized some two-body entanglement between two different subsystems. And as you know, so it's defined in this way. So this, well, I think, already clear to most of the audience. So we have some Hilbert space, and we factorize in direct product. We factorize total Hilbert space into two direct product of HA times HB, and factorize this way. Then once we factorize, then we can define so-called reduced density matrix by tracing out the degree of freedom for this HB. And we start with some pure state, some ground state, or some excited state wave function, and we trace out this Hilbert space of B. Then we have some coarse grain reduced density matrix. And then it is straightforward to define this quantity, entanglement entropy, by looking at von Neumann entropy. So this is a familiar story. And the relation between this geometry and this quantum state in this context of entanglement entropy comes from this holographic entanglement entropy, which we worked with Lisinse Liu and also Veronica and Mukund for covariant version, and derived in a nice setup by Cassini, Ferret, and Myers, and also some general Euclidean derivations given by Lukoit and Madasena. And this claims that this entanglement between region A and region B, in this is where this, we have some conformal field theory, and we have region A and region B. And then it's, this entanglement entropy between them is given by the area of some surface, and this surface, which we call gamma A, is defined by minimum area surface, which ends on the boundary of A. So this, we have A and B, this division, and we have boundary, and we extend into the bulk, and this is always codimension to surface. So this gamma A is an area divided by 4G Newton, the standard Bekenstein-Hawking formula, but it's more general in that this surface is no longer black hole horizon. And so we have some topological condition. I think in the next Matt's talk, this will be also, I mean, more rigorous and rigid aspect of holographic entanglement entropy will be discussed. But here, just heuristic viewpoint. And anyway, so this is a famous connection between area and equal, famous equality of area equal to entropy. This is a typical and for a long time known for black holes. It can be generalized in this context. But anyway, this suggests that, again, the same issue that the space-time in gravity can be somehow regarded as a collection of quantum entanglement, as already mentioned here. So this is a very interesting approach. But in this talk, I'd like to focus on also some other approach. So the studies of entanglement entropy, EE, entanglement entropy, which measures two-body entanglement, of course, very, very important. But it's not the old story of quantum information aspects of gravity. So this quantum information of quantum gravity is exactly the topic of this workshop. And we can also discuss some other quantities. So this is the aim of this talk. So it is interesting to explore some other quantum information quantity which measures some geometrical property in gravity. So this is what we want to discuss. So and on the other hand, if we turn to the gravity side, its holographic dual side and gravity side, then we can just look at some geometrical quantity. And always, as already I emphasized, this entropy is always related to area. And this area means always codimension to surface, area of codimension to surface. So this is, of course, a very important connection. But maybe it is very interesting to ask what happens if we think about volume of some surface. Here, I just mean codimension one surface and its volume, space-like volume. And indeed, this recent discussion by Leni Susskind and points out that it is quite interesting to look at this quantity. And this might be some correspond some quantity which cannot be characterized by entanglement. And especially he conjectured this is related to complexity. But anyway, so we'd like to think about this question. And it is very interesting to explore some quantum information theoretic quantity, which is dual to codimension one volume. So this is the aim of this talk. And in the end, we want to argue that one candidate of this quantity is something called quantum information metric. Or in condensed matter literature, it is also called fidelity susceptibility. That I will explain later. Okay, so let me go into this information metric in CFT. So let me give some definition, general definition of quantity called information metric. So consider two different pure states. We can generalize this into mixed state, but just for simplicity, let's talk about two pure states, psi 1 and psi 2, they are wave function, quantum state. And we can measure the distance between two different states, how much these states are different. By simply by looking by taking the distance so-called breadth distance. For pure state it's very takes a very simple form. This distance between psi 1 and psi 2 is just 1 minus inner product of psi 1 and psi 2 and its absolute value. So if they are same, we assume they are normalized, also normalized to be its normal, its unit. And so it's exactly the same, then it's, of course distance goes to zero and this state is the same. But otherwise, there are non-zero distance between them. So this is a pure state case. This is called breadth distance, has several nice properties. Some of them I will come back later. But for mixed state, we can generalize this definition into this way. And this quantity, rho 1 and rho 2 is a two density matrix, mixed state density matrix. And we measure the distance between these two density matrix. And this gives one measure of this distance. And this quantity is called fidelity. And roughly this measures how much it is difficult to distinguish two different states. And more technically, it's called P of M measure.
I take it that definition is secretly symmetric.
Yeah, this is symmetric. Yeah, this is.
Well, the rest might not be.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. But relative entropy is not.
You can prove that it is. Check
the fact the alchemy makes it not immediately.
It's not that we can prove it. Yeah, because it comes from this definition. This is symmetry. And we somehow approximate a mixed state in terms of pure state. And that gives this formula. So that's, but the egg is highly not
true.
So this is a pure state. So we talk about, now we are interested in a pure state parameterized by some parameters, sometimes we have several parameters, lambda 1, lambda 2, but in the end we focus on just single parameter case. And anyway, we are interested in the distance between two quantum states, psi lambda and lambda, and psi lambda plus d lambda. Lambda is slightly shifted, only infinitesimally shifted. And of course, this is infinitesimally shifted, so this is almost 1. This distance is almost 0. Sorry, this distance is almost 0, but we can expand in terms of powers of d lambda. And you can easily show that the linear term disappears. There are no linear contribution because of this absolute value here. This is a definition of breadth distance. And it's always start from quadratic order. And coefficient of this quadratic term is called information metric. This is the definition of information metric. And we forget about higher order. And the original motivation why people think about this information metric is actually given by this one motivation. And this comes from so-called quantum estimation theory. And this is, so in this theory, the most, yes?
So this metric fits in the space of dimensionality of however many parameters.
Yeah. That, exactly. Yeah, in this sense, orbital, yes.
But it's basically the
Kubin-Scudi
metric, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'll come back to this. For simple system, it's reduced to Kubin. Yeah. Right, but we can also talk about the generic mixed state and so on. It's more pure state, right? I agree. Yeah, yes. Pure state. And the one big theorem in this quantum estimation theory is called some quantum version Kramer-Rao bound. This theorem is true for classical probability discrete, classical information theory, but we can have some quantum version. And this is statement is written this inequality. So what does this mean? So we have some density matrix which parameterized by parameter lambda, and we do some measurement, especially some projection measurement and generalization of that, and then and from this measurement we want to estimate the value of lambda. So we assume we know the density matrix low lambda, but we want to estimate lambda by measurement, and then that error, mean square error of this lambda, delta lambda square, is always bounded by inverse of this information metric. So this can be proven by this paper. And this is the one, so if g lambda is very large, that means we can have very accurate measurement. But if g lambda is very small, then we have a lot of errors. It's an orbitary projection measurement. So you can think of any, yes?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that fidelity could be used to get
the right. So this is a benefit of fidelity. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So this is related also to this Niemann's talk. And there are two, yes. Sorry, yeah.
Lambda is a parameter, so what is measurement is lambda. Lambda is not expectation value.
We can just, lambda is some, we rely to lambda as some expectation value of some measurement, some projection and operator and so on.
The assumption is that the state is parameterized by parameters that can be obtained.
Yeah. So it depends on the model. We have to cook up the how to measure lambda. But for any such a choices, this is always this kind of generalization. And so I should mention there are two definitions, maybe more, but at least two, I mean, typical definition of information metric. One is the breadth distance, which I already mentioned. For mixed state, we have this fidelity. And this has a nice property that we have this theorem. And another one is a relative entropy. And for this, I think Nima will going to talk about this later. And so please refer to that. And there are recent interesting paper by Nima and Mark. And so this is a relative entropy case, as we know, that it's like relative entropy between these two different density matrix defined this way. And we can again, take an infinitesimal difference between two different, infinitesimally different density matrix and expand the lambda, and we pick up Gaussian part. But it has a, in general, this GB Bresse metric and the Fisher metric is different. And, but if we talk about a very classical example where all density matrix are diagonalized, just like for, like Shannon's entropy, just probably description where density matrix always diagonalized, then there are some, we can show that they are equivalent, but for our purpose, we are interested in quantum field theory and the CFT, they are different. So, but we, what I'd like to say, we just focus on the first one, this Bresse distance. And for the simplest example of this quantum metric, quantum information metric, is just free boson theory and fermion theory. So here, I mean, so we take this kind of quantum state, exponential lambda, lambda is a parameter, and A dagger and B dagger is some creation operator of two different bosons, free bosons, and standard and commutation relation. And or maybe we can replace A dagger, B dagger from boson to fermions. We can have also fermionic creation operator and take this inner product. And this is quite elementary calculation. And in then taking difference, infinitesimal difference, then we have this metric. So for free boson, we have this hyperbolic space, two-dimensional hyperbolic space. So lambda is a complex complex number. So 2D hyperbolic space, and the free fermion case, we have a sphere. So this is the two typical example, and this is a simplest example of this also, this Fubini study metric. So, but this is, of course, this is a quantum mechanical system, but we are interested in quantum field theory. So especially in this talk, we'd like to consider D plus one dimensional, this is just my convention, D is space and Y is time, D plus one dimensional CFT, and this is a CFT action, and perform some deformation by operator, some primary operator, or sometimes this is we are mainly, in the end, we mainly focus on exactly imaginary perturbation, but we, at this point, we can also generalize to any relevant or irrelevant perturbation, so any perturbation at this point. And this perturbation parameter is lambda. And so we can define this theory. We can talk about this theory and talk about its ground state. The ground state is defined by psi lambda. So this is a definition of psi lambda in my talk. So in that sense, we just consider one operator, then just this single value, just one parameter family of quantum state. And this lambda is action. And we are interested, so it's now obvious that what we want to compute is to look at this G lambda lambda. So when lambda is infinitesimally different and varied, then how state changes? This is measured by this information metric. So now, and let me focus. Sorry, yeah.
As you probably said this, is it always exactly marginal?
Ah, we assume in the end. So if we want to compare with this holographic calculation, so our proposal in holographic formula is actually for only for exactly marginal case. But for quantum field theory viewpoint, we can talk about any deformation.
So but this is to be viewed as some local operator acting at every space time point?
Yeah. It's a local operator integrated out or yeah.
But yes? If it's relevant, then even for an infinitesimal lambda, the ground state would be different. I'm just thinking naively, maybe I'm misunderstanding. It seems like it would be different by a finite amount, so it wouldn't actually be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, we are not taking into account of this renormalization effect. We talk about the bare quantity,
okay.
We have divergence, and so it's very similar to entanglement entropy case. Yeah, that's actually very important. And then, we can talk about in quantum field theory, but computation is very complicated. We just let me focus on conformal field theory, and because we in the end we want to compare this with ADS. So in the, now we are looking at path integral formulation to compute this overlap. So inner product is easier to compute in path integral formulation. So we have some this Euclidean time formulation. We have time and some space. We can, I mean, this is a 2D example, but we can go to higher dimension. So for tau less than zero, negative tau, we have some original theory, coupling constant lambda. And for positive lambda, we modify the theory by infinitesimally. So d lambda, lambda parameter is lambda plus d lambda. And for the Lagrangian, this part is the L lambda, and Lagrangian for this upper part is L lambda plus D lambda. And that way we can have some partial integral formulation. So just for partial integral and with some modified Lagrangian. And but we have to be careful that as I already mentioned, that we are looking at the bare quantity, and in general we have a UV divergence. And that exactly happens when the region where these two kind of the interface region. And so we replace this wave function for upper region is by some putting some UV cutoff, epsilon times energy, Hamiltonian. And this H gives some UV cutoff. And once we take into account this UV cutoff.
H is Hamiltonian before
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, before. This, yeah, H lambda. And once we take into account this, then we get in the end. This is a kind of perturbative calculus, you can imagine. And in the end, we get the lambda in terms of some integral of two-point function. But somehow, this integral is a little bit tricky. So the lambda, tau the Euclidean time integral epsilon to plus infinity and minus infinity to minus epsilon. So because they are different, tau and tau prime is different, so we have Poisson splitting kind of regularization is realized. But we integrate all space direction. And there are some comments. And so yeah, it only involves two-point functions, so results should be universal for CFTs. And so that sense, we can have some universal quantity. And for exactly imaginary deformation, for at any point, two-point function is the same, so our result doesn't depend on lambda, so we can just focus on lambda equals zero. But the non-marginal deformation, result depends on lambda, but still we are just focusing on lambda equals zero.
So this is some smearing of the logic of symmetry?
Yeah, it's very similar, but slightly different is that we are looking at bare quantity, and we're not renormalizing the metric. So the scaling behavior, I think, a little bit different. We keep divergence, like, and that also, I mean, matches nicely for ADS calculation. We have some volume divergence. Yeah, that's an important point. So now, but anyway, let us we focus on CFT and compute this g lambda lambda at lambda equals zero. So we know the universal result for two-point function in CFT is very simple, but the only non-trivial thing is the conformal dimension of this operator. And we do this integral, a little bit complicated, but we can do this analytically. We just do this integral. Then we, in the end, we end up with the simple formula in terms of this cutoff dependence. D is a dimension, D plus one is a dimension of CFT. And delta is a conformal dimension of this operator. And when this inequality is satisfied, this means large conformal dimension, somehow larger conformal dimension, we have always UV divergence. Oh.
I'm hoping that you're watching and this is.
It's not a second.
Okay, thank you. Pause, you can warm us up with a few jokes.
It's going to take up the projector a few minutes just to cool down the background. But I'll take it.
At this point, this construction was, as you showed it, it's true for any operator.
So
it doesn't have to be
for. Yeah. That's right. Only conformal dimension appears here. Yeah.
So is this only not renormalizing and only doing it in bare quantum field theory? I'm worried this doesn't actually make sense. Why is it that?
Yeah, but I mean, this is equivalent to the case. I mean, if we are looking directly look at the geometric quantity in ADS space-time, right? We don't put any counter term and so on. So we have an original bare divergence. And we want to do the same thing for CFT side.
But the divergence in the correlation comes only from coincident points.
Yeah, that's right.
And you get this because of the correlation being evaluated at the same tau equals zero standard. Mm.
Okay. Actually, let me ask a more basic question. You started introducing this information metric as comparing two different states. in the same theory.
Yeah.
But now you're sort of looking at, well, different theories, right?
Different theories.
Actually deforming the theory.
But in the same Hilbert space, but the Hilbert space is the same, but the...
So you're thinking of it, okay, you're thinking of it as the same theory deforming the state with some, just exciting the state and looking at the... Some different.
So right, there's theorems and quantum field theory say under certain circumstances when you turn on an interaction you get a vacuum that's infinitely different from the air vacuum. I suppose that's why you this quantum is always divergent.
Well, yeah, we're talking about this infinitesimal difference.
Yeah, he needs to cut. He's going to cut it off.
Yeah. It's okay.
So. Is that any, this is technical, that inequality, that's just the unitary amount, isn't it? Or,
so sorry, what the, this is inequality.
If I rewrite that, isn't that just saying delta is greater than d over 2 plus 1, which is the,
is that really true?
What is
this is a maybe in a standard set d plus 1 divided to 2.
Oh,
it's a little bit
another,
so sorry, I'm using different.
How can you mention the
yeah.
D plus one.
Yeah,
okay. It's a d plus 1 divided in 2. That's in standard notation.
Sorry, so the marginal case is what here?
Marginal case is delta equal d plus 1. Because the total dimension d plus 1, delta equal d plus 1, satisfies this condition.
Okay.
This satisfies this.
If I'm changing my theory rather than just changing the state, just using CFT intuition, that would be the difference between normalizable and non-normalizable perturbations.
If I'm changing my theory,
that would affect the metric. Say we're in Fefferman Graham, there'd be some lower powers of Z. Change.
Right.
And I guess I would have expected that, say, changing my state without changing the theory would give me a new metric where maybe the volume difference from the original one would be finite. But I think if I change my theory and get these lower powers,
I see. Produce. That also modify UV part.
But you're,
Because this is a
like
exactly marginal case.
Different in terms of how. This is just going back to the original question of how you were saying you were. First, you were considering.
But that's a little subtle because if we do some perturbation in ADS safety setup, for example, if we do some scalar perturbation, depending on the conformal dimension, we have some non-normalizable kind of divergence appears.
But
if we evaluate some partition function.
Take a lambda to the marginal. Or to be a marginal operator, and you take a lambda, you want to turn on a source proportional lambda everywhere, then you will see a logarithmic divergence in the Fefferman Graham coordinate, because this is exactly marginal. So that will change the asymptotic volume of the space relative to the original space time. You just compare near.
That's what he's doing.
But where is the logarithm in the answer?
So the logarithmic, if this is zero, then we have logarithmic.
Yeah.
If this is saturated, we get the logarithmic divergence.
I mean, in any case, you're getting divergence.
And I will give some ADS CFT interpretation of divergence.
But saturation is not marginality.
No, it's different. Marginal case is not saturated. This is not equal.
But you need a logarithm even in the marginal
case. I'm not so much sure, because this result matches precisely with ADS calculation. We are looking at the volume, just volume of ADS space time, and there are no log divergence.
But then the question comes back: are you actually doing deformation of states? Are you turning on a source in the boundary and computing volume for two different dimensions?
Yeah, we are changing the exact marginal parameter.
You're going to show us a holographic
calculator. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's look at it for...
Yeah. So yeah, this is a holographic. This is actually the same as the Janus solution. Because we are talking about exactly marginal perturbation. So we have lambda, this exact marginal parameter, and parameter changes to lambda plus d lambda. And in that sense, this, if we regard this as an external source, then we change the source. And we have some interface between the Euclidean time and this space direction, and we have a marginal coupling is lambda and lambda plus d lambda. And it's, we are talking about extra dimension, this holographic dual, and this is realized in a Janus solution back at Parham Kirano. But especially, we can focus on simplest model in ADS3, which is just simple model, which just have a gravity and coupled to just single scalar field, lambda. And the single scalar field is massless, and this is dual to this external field, which changes the lambda. So this is exact formula for formed by these people. And we just use this formula and evaluate the action difference between two actions. So this is my type of this is just gamma is zero. Gamma is a deformation parameter. So there are two lambda minus infinity and lambda infinity is a change different by gamma times some numerical coefficient. The difference is gamma. And if gamma is zero, then S0 gamma minus S0 is the same, but it deviates by this amount. We can expand by gamma, and it's the gamma square. And so difference. And then if we evaluate this wave function, overlap wave function, it's like this. And we have like this. This S lambda, S gamma minus S0 is evaluated by this formula, and it's expand this way, gamma square. And this square is important because this is a square part is related to this information distance. So we just identify this coefficient and this information distance. And this has a cutoff dependence, 1 over epsilon. And this is agree with this, what we find here. And C is the central charge. But get rid of the central charge term because we want to normalize this two-point function in conformal field theory in this way, just the coefficient unit. And but the holographic calculation usually assume this is C, so we get some factor C, but we can get rid of this to unify this normalization.
Can you go back once more? What is the asymptotic
behavior
of lambda?
Lambda is, for this region, it's a constant, approach is constant. This is a Janus coordinate, and this is a something called Y, which is Y direction is just this way. And the y equal minus infinity, it approaches lambda minus infinity. And if y goes to infinity, it approaches lambda infinity. And they are different only by quantity proportional to gamma. It's some kink kind of interface is realized.
Now, is it true that in the Janus solution, there is a defect at r equals 0?
Yeah, this is an interface. We can rewrite in terms of just as a solution, smooth solution. We don't need to put the brain,
if you try to realize the Janus solution with deep wavelengths, then there is an explicit defined thing at the interface. Isn't that true?
I'm not sure because this doesn't change the charge. There are no charge difference between this. It's just a moduli changing. So
what changes how? So in the original Janus solution, the attempt to change the coupling constant.
One
hemisphere of the boundary sphere. But that changes actually a Dirac charge on each.
Right, it's just Dirac charge. Only Dirac charge is enforced. So
I thought the way you get that in. If you want to generalize this supersymmetric case, you should put it explicitly phi or n phi. So that's an explicit sort of how you go. That must contribute extra divergence.
Sorry, I'm not sure because the solution itself is just this regular. And for example, it's called D3 brain case. We just have Yamuse coupling shifted by finite amount along the defect. So I'm not familiar with this brain picture actually. It's a kind of, I think this is called DCFT, but this is a ICFT.
So in your cartoon, it's like orange up to y equals zero and blue, but in the actual solution, it's continuous, right?
Yeah, yeah, continuous. Yes,
so it's not actually the way you drew it, like constant up to y equals zero, then constant in the bulk. Or am I misunderstanding?
No, this is just we fix a kind of slice for constant y. Just go this way.
But it, I mean, is the actual bulk solution smooth, or does the actual bulk solution have some kink at y equals zero?
Only has a step function, only this point.
Okay.
Or this region is smooth. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, this is an exact calculation because it's just a take a whole. But we want to some approximation, some hard order approximation for this calculation, and that gives a simple formula for holography calculation of this quantum information metric. And so generic setup, it's of course quite hard to find some exact metric of this Janus kind of solution. So instead, we'd like to propose some covariant formula which compute information metric in some approximation. So this approximation is kind of hard order approximation. This is closely related to the Matos also point that so initially we only have some singularity at this line, and this part is a smear, but we approximate by this computation at some brain, so maybe this is related to Mukundo's point. We put some approximate this interface by putting some brain inside the area space time. And that's our comeback. But if we do that, so then we can find the following result, that the information metric is just given by some up to some order one coefficient times some volume of this surface. And this surface is just, we fix this time slice and the extent towards the bulk, and we maximize the volume because this is a Lorentzian space time, so we can have only maximized surface. So maximize the volume divided by RADS, its dimension, D plus one. And this gives some nice approximation to this information metric. So this formula is the same level of approximation which I did for calculation of holographic dual of boundary conformality, BCFT. And the explanation of this formula is like this. It's very simple. So we have some Janus configuration exactly, but we approximate by just gravity coupled to brain, and with tension T. And so brain is captured by tension T, but this tension is actually related to the, in the Einstein equation, so energy stored tensile is related to the square of the scalar field. So T mu nu is del phi del phi, phi is the scalar field. So that suggests that it should be always quadratic about delta lambda. Lambda is some scalar field interface value, kink value. So it's like, and then because of dimensional region, we have to divide by R ADS radius, R to D plus one. And then we get this. And then we just plug this formula. And because we are talking about information metric, we divide by the delta lambda square, we simply get this formula.
So,
yes?
Usually when we talk about this area of a minimal surface, it diverges, and at least in some sense we say that, okay, so S is infinite, but delta S is finite, right? Here, so volume is infinite, but can you take two different states and calculate this and match delta Vs?
Yeah, it's finite. Yeah, I'll come back one example, explicit example in some of his algebra. Yes?
So in light of your answer to Matt's question, one shouldn't have thought of this as being, as there being some brain that extends and then you're counting the volume of that brain. There's no sort of sharp motivation for why it should have been this volume,
yeah, it should be smooth. That's some approximation.
Is there any intuition for
but
it,
it's
why the volume is the relevant thing?
We can also compare this with the precise calculation in Janus. And that's one, and we get same result. And also, this is kind of just what people call hard wall approximation, or appears in a phenomenological model of ADCFT. So this is some motivation.
I would have thought this was some thin shell approximation. You had some thing which was smooth.
And you want to say that
I have some. Do I have some parameter?
Yeah, but unfortunately, we don't know. That's the problem. We don't have that one. So this stays the same approximation. But indeed, yeah, that's also, you can say, it's similar approximation. Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, or maybe you're just, are you going to explain how this formula and the one you showed us before are
We plug this here, and basically this part contributes the difference between inner product. And the inner product divided by delta lambda square is the definition of GLM.
No, no, but you had a formula that G lambda lambda was the central charge times some volume.
Because we renormalize this lambda this way, so we eliminate this C, then this part is exactly the same as this guy.
So V over R squared here is the V1 over R.
That exactly. Yeah, that's exactly this. Yeah, I wrote it here. So this is a Poincaré calculation, and this is just simple integral of VZ, and this familiar one. But the only difference, for example, very similar to entanglement entropy, but only difference is just power is increased by one, and only that. And you have slightly just different power divergence. And if D equal one, this reproduces previous stuff. And we can, yes?
Let me ask Rob's question again. So how do you show that V of sigma max was V1?
V1 was
some quantity, right?
V1 is just volume of this extended direction.
In the solution.
It's 1 plus 1 DCFT, so 1 space direction. This I just call this volume
so
of this one.
Volume of two slides in ages.
So
V1 was the boundary volume. It's like a regulator volume. The V1 over epsilon was his V. I mean, that's what this
is. Sigma
max is the maximum per dimension one.
Right. But that's what this form is, that first form.
Sorry. Maybe you're talking about this one, right? For this form, it is V1 is this direction. This extra dimension, time, and space direction.
V1 is this
direction.
V1 is just IR cutoff.
This is trivial. So,
what matches?
This power matches.
Power matches. The coefficient doesn't match.
Because that's also related to ambiguity of cutoff and the issues. But I will come back more final part later. So this global case we have slightly get some smaller result because of mass gap and this integral. And maybe also interesting to look at the black hole. I will come back to this example later for some field double context. But it's, we get, in general, for if we talk about final temperature situation, this information metric is increased by some positive quantity. But interestingly, if we only look at the BTZ, 3D black hole, it vanishes. This increasement is vanishing. No increasement, no enhancement. I will confirm. Also, this is true for CFT calculations. But higher dimension, we get non-trivial positive contribution. So this is the original divergence, volume of divergence, but this is a finite contribution because of finite temperature. So Z0 is a horizon press, a horizon position, so it's like inverse related to temperature. And also consistent with CFT. And these are, of course, just we only compare power. So it is quite interesting to do some more detailed tests. And I think the most interesting, the simplest example of time dependence example is this sum field double state, which discussed many others so far, especially in the context of entanglement. And so we take some time field double state, and also we consider some sum field double state for modified Hamiltonian, infinitesimally modified Hamiltonian, and compare this to compute this distance between these two states. And the sum field double state is just a pure state description, sum of state is familiar formula, and the reduced density matrix, if we talk about, so we have two copies of CFT, and if we trace out one of them, we just sum of density matrix. But we are interested in time evolution, which is defined by HA plus HB. HA minus HB is a trivial time evolution, and it is just correspond to killing. In a holographic dual, it's just killing time evolution, so it's trivial time evolution. But we are interested in HA plus HB. And this is a sum also model discussed by Hartmann and Maldacena, which is also after some D2 quotient, this model gives some nice analysis for quantum quenches. The same model here. So we expect non-trivial time evolution.
So, and we prepare another some field double state based on the CFT with some infinitesimally exact marginal perturbation. And we compare these two states. So this is a path integral formulation. So this is a Euclidean time. So Euclidean time is compactified with periodicity beta. And this is the initial point. And we, so this point is this, described this state by this state, just NN, the sum. And we have some time evolution by beta over 4. Sorry. Beta over 4 time evolution is here, but we are talking more generic time evolution. So this point, we define beta over 4 plus some time evolution TE, Euclidean time, this part is minus TE. And so this region is just governed by time evolution by HA, H1, original Hamiltonian. And the other part is given by, time evolution is given by H2, in a modified, infinitesimally perturbed Hamiltonian. So and then if we compute this partition function for this interface, like field theory, we just get this inner product of two states. And we can do this by, because we know the two-point function on, for this cylinder geometry. So the cylinder geometry two-point function is like this, the Sinchan sign, this Euclidean time. And we do this integral, d tau 1 and d tau 2, and also x integral. And this looks tricky, but in the end, we can work out it precisely analytically, and we get this final formula. But here we assume that, because we are talking about the Janus kind of deformation, so we are assuming exact marginal perturbation. So we need to plug this delta equal 2, because we are talking about 2D CFT. So delta equal 2 is exact marginal. And then we get this information metric, which depends on the Euclidean time evolution. P is given by this simple formula. Now we are looking at the real time evolution. So we just do some weak rotation. T real time equal to minus I TE, Euclidean time. And then we get, instead of cotangent, we get cotangent to hyperbolic here. So interesting thing for this Euclidean, Lorentzian signature is that we can take a rate of time limit. T is much larger than inverse temperature scale. So then we have some linear T behavior. So it's universally given by this formula. And so initially, so we have some, these two states are separated, but this distance somehow grows linearly. So this is something we universally observe in 2D CFT. So this is a linear T behavior also, maybe some of you might be very familiar with this, because if we compute entanglement entropy under the quantum quenches, we get linear T growth. And our example of some field W is also same as, exactly same as quantum quenches up to just factor 2. If we divide it by factor 2, then we can use the same result for quantum quenches. So that says entanglement entropy and this matrix somehow behave similarly. But though the precise connection is not so much clear, that might be interesting future problem. And but now we come to the holographic dual. So this is, some field double state is dual to this eternal black hole. Eternal BTC black hole, as we know very well. And then our previous proposal is just looking at this maximum time slice, which connects this to time, and compute this volume. And we can also, fortunately, we can do this calculation analytically. Somehow, in terms of not exactly, but in terms of some explicit integrals, and this similar technique as in Hartmann-Mazzena paper, and we find we finally find some volume as a function of time, and so this is a final plot of the result, and actually we plotted two lines. One is come from this volume holographic formula, but though this is an approximated formula. Another one is red line is actually CFT, analytical result in CFT, this result. And they almost coincide, actually. At first sight, we are very excited. But if we look carefully, there are some small deviations in the early time region. Late time, they are the same T-linear behavior. But this part is slightly modified. This is always square, T-square, quadratic function, but its coefficient is. If we take a volume, it's like 1 over pi, 2 over pi. But if we look at the CFT calculation, it's 2 over 3. So this looks very similar, but it's slightly different. But we think this is probably because of this approximate, hard-wall approximation. So, but anyway, so this is how the same qualitative works.
I mean, the CFT calculation had two different states.
That's exactly the point. That is because we are originally we are talking about this Young solution, this one space time and the other space time here, but we are talking about the infinitesimal distance between them. For that calculation, actually, we can just approximate the two space time the same, but just compute this volume.
No, but I don't understand because then in Lorentzian space, you will be doing. Two different space times across time slice. You will be turning on operators at some point of time. But a Euclidean calculation was just an instantaneous calculation. It wasn't trying to do a Lorentzian evolution. If I took your language interpretation seriously, here you'll be turning on sources at some instant Lorentzian time t, which is not the problem you described.
We can turn on the source, but in this calculation, because we just compute the information metric, which is just a leading order, which provides d lambda square, so that effect somehow we can ignore that. We just pick up this volume, and if we talk about higher order, like delta lambda quadratic, I think we need that one. Looking at sim. Okay, yeah, but this is the end of the story. And so we propose some of this information metric, also interesting quantity in addition to entanglement entropy. And we propose this volume formula. And it is interesting to note that this recent suspended work. And this whole volume formula is actually interpreted as the volume is interpreted as complexity, which is also different measure of entanglement. We are not so much sure because we are claiming this is related to information metric, and we are not so much sure of the relation between information metric and this complexity, but might be interesting. If you have any ideas, I'm very happy to hear. And we compute also CFT, compute information metric on CFT, and for example, one interesting result is that the lambda is grows p linearly, and the quantum quenches or what term field doubles. And there are several future problems. It is interesting to extend our calculation for CFT on non-compact space. We are assuming non-compact space, so we get a cylinder, and the two-point function is universal. But if we talk about compact space, we have to be careful, and we need some more details of the theory, maybe Lagrangian limit, and so on. That will be useful. Also, more interesting example of gravity duals, like quantum quenches, I already discussed, but we can especially local quantum quenches, local excitation, then we expect that log t instead of t time growth, assuming entanglement entropy is that. So it's quite interesting to see this. And finally, I'd like to also comment on this tensor network interpretation. This is a very rough interpretation, but naively it seems to work. So we are looking at this inner product of two different quantum states, especially both are some grand set of two different CFTs and modified by only infinitesimally. So one state corresponds to one mirror, and the other one is some mirror tensor network. And we attach together and take an inner product. And each step, we have non-trivial contribution from each vertices. So roughly, the result, which deviates for one minus something, and this something, the deviation, will be probably proportional to the number of these vertices, because that gives some universal contributions. And indeed, this is true for in our holographic formula, which is volume of this time slice. And each point contributes one unit of volume, radius volume. So it roughly seems to be matches well. OK, so yeah, I think it's time. It's just running. So I think I will stop here. Thank you very much.
The complexity measure that you said, that thing saturates after some exponential to the S or so is the claim. Do you expect to see that somehow your linear growth saturate after some time?
I see. That's a very good question. We didn't do express calculation, but if we compute two-point function in compact space, that's also because of if we talk about 1 over n correction, then it probably the two-point function also saturates, so probably this also saturates.
But we didn't do calculus for
So in general, you would expect the volume to be volume of some globally volume maximizing slice in the box.
Yeah.
So then just an observation that you're very familiar with. That's not always the same spatial slice of the bulk that, for example, the extremal surface lies on. So it's a different, it picks out a different geometrical locus in the bulk, in general.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the quantity is different from entanglement entropy, so this correlation to the external surfaces behave differently.
The extremal surfaces can lie on a different region, need not lie on the slice that's the
I see. Yeah. Anyway,
so for example, because for the rotating BTC, we saw that the volume maximum
I think it's very interesting. Probably because it's different quantity.
Look at, so it picks up a different region.
But sometimes, for example, this linear P behavior is similar, and some similarity also true, and some part is very, very different. So it's quite interesting to understand this.
So with entanglement entropy, you have divergences, but then there are various quantities just in field theory you can look at that are finite, and you could try to compare just those finite quantities with gravity. So in this case, is there something similar? Can I write down a field theory object which is just manifestly finite?
Yeah, you could take a difference between two different.
So say exactly different. What do you want to do?
For this G lambda lambda, for
a
grand state and
deformed theory.
Yeah. And so yeah, but deform is always, let's assume deformation just come from exact marginal perturbation.
Okay, so I have a state of a deformed theory.
And then we compute this for CFT ground state.
Yeah.
And we can compute similar quantity for excited state. An excited state of some theory and excited state for excited some deformed theory. And difference will be, I think, finite, according to the holographic calculation.
Okay.
I think I have a technical question, which relates back to something that Veronica said. Is it guaranteed that a volume maximizing time-slice always exists in a given space time?
That's a good question. I'm not talking about some topologically non-trivial space time.
No,
but simple case is yes, no? Simple
space.
Geometry is like global radius.
But
at least the sum of your double case, yes, right? We can show this for this case, right? Explicitly. And this global radius and Poincaré radius. But I don't know the general story. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You can certainly jump discontinuousness. You vary the time.
Oh, I see. That might be very interesting. Again, maybe a little large generally, but this might be discontinuous.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think this was sort of mentioned in passing before. I mean, there is another metric on this. On the moduli space of conformal field theories, which is this Zamolodchikov metric, which is perfectly finite and if you go off of the conformal manifold, it gets a little bit tricky and a little fuzzy, actually.
Mm.
But on the conformal manifold, I mean, it's like perfectly well defined, perfectly finite, and scheme independent, and everything you would want. So now you have a different metric.
Yeah.
Also, let's say we're just talking about exactly marginal coupling. So on that same manifold, you have a different metric. Is it like the same metric times infinity, or is it?
Yeah,
really
I think it's
different
because we are not taking care of this renormalization, and the power also changes. I think. At first, it's different. I should say.
So it's not related in any obvious way to the
Zamolodchikov. No, it's not clear. Because we are motivated by just thinking of some dual of volume of area space time, and then we reach this conclusion. But probably the Zamolodchikov metrics will be different. But it might be more interestingly, maybe related to area safety, but I don't have any. It looks different. Yeah.
So most of what you said involved overlap of two states, right? So, but were you conjecturing that this holds for fidelity of mixed states by looking at subsystem? Do you believe such that there is a
yeah, that's a very interesting question, but we don't have evidence for that. But that at least for some of the double case, we can do this. Right? You can Euclidean. And that case seems to be why, as just BTG black hole.
Okay, so
but the generic case, I'm not sure. Mm.
That's you're basically just expanding the overlap.
Right.
That's what you mean by
If this holographic dual is something like approximated by brain, that should be true. But I don't have any calculation.
Let me ask you again about this thin wall approximation that you're using to justify this sigma maximum work. I don't quite understand how that could work. I mean, how do you get the thin wall limit for this genus?
No, as I told you, there are no parameter controllable parameter which gives thin wall approximation. So that's the reason I just thought some approximation. I cannot say more than this.
Okay, let's thank Tadashi again.
Thank you.